Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to welcome you to June the 16th board meeting. At this time, we will have our roll call from Madam Clerk.
Here,
present.
Vice Chair.
Present.
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 Mr. Michael White.
Present.
Here we have a present.
Okay, thank you so much. At this time, we'll have the invocation and Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Saunders.
The prayer.
Good evening. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you as humble as we know how being servants of your county, being servants of you, trying to make the things of this county better, trying to make ourselves better as people serving the people of this community. God, touch us each and every one, God. Allow us to please make decisions that are pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Commissioner Saunders. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you here to our June 16th board meeting. At this time, we will move into public comments, and we would like to ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. Okay, outstanding. So since there are no public comments, we'll move right into our
please.
Wanting to wait.
State your name.
David Ray of Lewiston Woodville Growing Together Ministry. Good to see you, Mr. Hoggard. Yes, sir. I wanted to wait after I had been to 4 meetings before I said this, but I want to thank each one of you for allowing me to serve on the Bert T. Martin Richard J. It is an honor to serve after retiring from the prison system in 5 state prisons. Knowledge I have, I believe it'll be a benefit. We can already see some change, and I want to thank you for what I saw of each one of you on May the 20th. You know what I'm talking about. I thank you, and that will always resonate in my mind greatly. And thank you for letting me serve Bert T. County that I first lived in 1985 when I pastored in Lewiston Woodville. It's an honor, and I love Bert T. County. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Yes, sir. Okay, at this time, we will have reports and appointments. Introduction of the IT Computer Systems Administrator, Terrence Brown and Joe Wilk.
Good evening. Hope everybody's doing well.
Yes, sir.
As a department, I think it's important for us to come before you as a board, show our appreciation for what you're doing for us as a department that allows us to be able to help our employees along with the citizens of Bertie County. So I wanted to introduce you to Terrence Brown. He's our new computer systems administrator. So before you, you have the entire IT department.
Outstanding. Outstanding. We welcome you, Mr. Brown, and look forward to being able to call your name when we do this mic check. And again, we welcome you. Anybody want to?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Are you from Lewiston? Eatonton. Same on you.
We'll forgive you.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you.
Thank y'all so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. At this time, we'll have introduction of the case managers / employment specialist for the local reentry council. Mr. Gregg, how you doing, my friend?
What?
Good, good.
Chairman Ballard, and the rest of the Board of Commissioners of Berkshire County. It is with an honor that I stand before you to introduce you to your two case managers slash job placement specialists. If you recall back February the 24th, I came before this board with the idea, with the concept to building a local reentry council for Hereford, Berkshire, Gates, St. Chawan. God has truly smiled on us. The reason why I say so, it took me about a year and a half to build up the reentry council for Craven and Pamlico, two counties, let alone to be successful with the four county local reentry council. To be very brief, I'm going to hand it over to the person that these two individuals will be reporting to, Director of Reentry and Reentry Operation, Ms. Mabry.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So
good evening.
To introduce you to our case manager, Mr. John Outlaw. He will be the case manager and specialist, employment specialist for Berkshire and Hereford County. And I also want to introduce you to Ms. Emma Nixon. She will actually be the case manager and employment specialist also for Chawan and Gates County.
Nice. That's welcome.
The relevance in these two, they will be, I don't believe in one person being a resource.
Right.
So they're going to be cross-training with each other so that they become both familiar with both of their territories, being Hereford and Berkshire, as well as being Chawan and Gates.
Right. Outstanding.
Thank
All
you.
Right. That's wonderful.
All the pundit.
Yep. Welcome. Yep. Welcome. And we already look forward to what you all are going to bring to our county and our surrounding areas. Okay.
I thank this board thank for the support because it's not a problem, but for this. So we need to stay across the goal line and start changing a lot for the
battle. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, I'm sorry to you.
Yes. That's all right.
They introduced the team.
Yes. So, understood. All right. Good to see you. All right. Okay. Now we will talk to Dr. Otis Smallwood as he goes over our performance contract and along with Graham Lewis.
Right. Good evening, Chair Ballance, Vice Chair Hoggett, Commissioner Robinson, White, and Ms. Saunders. Let me just say this, in case no one has told you this today, thank you for what you do for Berkshire County. And thank you for what you do for Berkshire County students.
Yeah.
But this evening, I'll be brief and I'm going to turn it over to one of our school system partners. This is a way, what we've presented tonight is a way to utilize the resources that we already have as far as performance contract, and requires no additional funds, but it does require us, it does create an opportunity for us to have savings in our utilities. And with the savings in our utilities, we are able to upgrade a lot of our equipment, energy equipment. As you know, we have some old buildings that we're operating in Berkshire County Schools, and we spend roughly about $900,000 a year for utility costs. But with the project, with some of the things that we could put in place, is that with the savings we can get with the upgraded HVAC and other equipment, that savings can offset and pay for the equipment. So we have millions of dollars worth of capital outlay needs within the school system, and we know it would take a very long time for us to get all those things done. So I'm going to step aside, and we have Graham's met with me. He's also met with county manager to talk about this too. So we wanted to put it in front of you all so you all can hear it and ask questions and just kind of get your thoughts around it.
Good evening. I really appreciate the opportunity to present to you all tonight. I've got this packet in front of you, which I'll be presenting from. But just a little bit of background, we've been a partner of the school district since 2021. We did a facilities audit and assessment for them then, and identified projects for them to be able to tackle when they had their ESSER COVID relief funding, which we then designed and implemented at several schools. And so now that that funding has expired, as Dr. Smallwood mentioned, there still remains, you know, millions of dollars of deferred maintenance projects that we understand are difficult, if not impossible, to fund from the county perspective. And so the school board had asked that we bring this to you as an alternative funding mechanism to be able to help address some of those capital needs that the school district has. So goal for the presentation is to review the value of the program for the school district, and then hopefully to get your support to move into the process. Here on the first slide, I really wanted to highlight this is a state program that is enabling legislation that allows, I heard that ringtone in a long time, that allows for school districts to use future guaranteed energy savings to get capital upgrades accomplished now. And so you can see we're shrinking the energy bill and the operations bill of the school district and using that to pay for the project retroactively. Two keys to legislation. First one is it says guaranteed savings. So if we say the school district is going to save $200,000 a year, and then 1 year they only save $150,000, we have to actually write a check for $50,000 to cover that difference. So they are guaranteed on an annual basis. The second key is that total cost of the project minus any state or local incentives, rebates, anything that's remaining has to be covered by energy savings. So y'all aren't allowed to use local capital funding to offset the cost of this project. It's got to completely stand on its own. Obviously less any state or federal incentives. On the next slide, this just talks about our project development philosophy. Really what we're doing is we come in and look for all these revenue creation measures. LED lighting is a really good example, right? It's low cost, high savings. It's going to pay for itself, and then it's going to drive excess savings to be able to offset the cost of some of those big ticket items like chillers, boilers, those really expensive pieces of capital equipment. That when one of them fails and you have an emergency replacement, it's a big financial impact both to the school district and to the county. So we want to try to get ahead of those failures and replace equipment that's already at the end of its life. The next slide, it really just talks about how we're connecting with the mission and vision of the school district. We want to make sure that we're helping the school district to focus on their primary goal, which is improving that learning environment, making it as optimal as possible for student success. The second one is, you know, really helping to communicate the improvements that are going to be made in the school district throughout all community stakeholders in the county. So helping to continue that competition with charter schools, private schools, making sure that our students stay home in Berkeley County. The third one is obviously leveraging partnership and existing partners to drive an increase in funding. And then the last one is we don't want to miss this as an opportunity to provide unique hands-on STEM opportunities with students. So we've already done some things back when we had our ESSER project, at a couple of the elementary schools, but we want to continue finding ways through either job shadowing or Earth Week events, science nights, things like that, that we can support students. And so getting down to the financial impact of the project. So as Dr. Smallwood mentioned, total utility costs at the high school, middle school, and the three elementaries, and then that administrative complex that includes the early college, is about $832,000 a year. When we get a cost per square foot metric that allows us to then compare you to other school districts, we're projecting annual savings somewhere between 24% and 29%, which is about $200,000 to $241,000 a year. This program allows us to guarantee that savings up to 20 years. So you can see that allows us to generate anywhere from $3 to $4.8 million in capital funding that you could use right now to resolving facility needs. And so the project will be a combination of that installment financing contract that the school district would enter into that's funded through the savings, as well as any other incentives that we can find. So that could be leveraging R&R funds and lottery funding from the school district. It could be identifying custom or prescriptive rebates from the utility. And then lastly, there's a tax deduction called 179D that we found a way to monetize and pass back to our customers. So we're really trying to look for any additional funding sources we can generate through this program to help offset those deferred maintenance costs. On the next few slides, there's just a review of the various needs across the school district. You can see the first slide is really talking about HVAC needs. So you've got a couple chillers that are already having leaks and compressors needed to be replaced over at the middle school. You've got a couple boilers that are non-condensing, which really just means they're operating at a lower efficiency at the middle school. The biggest need, it seems like right now, is at West Bertie. You've got a number of water source heat pumps that are 25 years old. They're at the end, past the end of their useful life. They're constantly breaking down for the maintenance department. They're always sending folks over there. So it's a huge time suck as well for that maintenance department. Then you've just got a number of other units over at the admin complex, the early college, that are at the end of their useful life and need to be replaced. From a lighting perspective, you can see a number of pictures there from inside classrooms. You typically don't see metal halide inside of classrooms like you see in Coleraine and West Bertie. This project would take the entire school district to LED. So that's a no-brainer. It's going to drive a lot of savings for the project. help to improve lighting levels inside the classroom, but also on the exterior of the facilities as well. From a building automation standpoint, the school district's in relatively good shape. Part of that was part of our ESSER projects, but we do see an opportunity to upgrade the building automation system, both at the administration and there's an update that's needed at the middle school just on their existing system. So it's all functional and on the same platform so that the maintenance department can remotely monitor, set temperatures, set schedules, make sure equipment's not running 24/7, things like that. And then lastly, there's just a list of other needs throughout the district. Things like filling envelope, you can see, open air coming in but underneath that door there. There's lots of ceiling needs that are needed like that, door weather stripping, window ceiling, just to make sure that we're not letting that humid Eastern North Carolina air into the classroom and that the money that we spend to condition the air stays in the building. It's not seeping out through those gaps. There's a variety of window replacements that could be used. There's aging transformers, like electrical transformers that if y'all are familiar walking through the schools, you can kind of hear them in the electrical closets. They're hot, they're humming. And so this is getting those replaced with a piece of equipment that's got a 30-year warranty on it. And then lastly, we'd make sure to evaluate kitchen equipment, which we know is a big need right now from the nutrition department, as well as see if solar makes sense. Right now, with all the changes at the federal level, it may not make sense, but we want to make sure to evaluate it to see if it could drive savings for the district. And so I've got a school district here example. We've got many school districts that we've worked with all across the country and within North Carolina. We've done about 95% of this program in North Carolina over the last 6 years, so we are very familiar with this marketplace. But Lexington City Schools is relatively same size as Berkeley County Schools. We were able to help get them $3.8 million through this program, really to go through resolve a lot of those needs that I just shared, boiler replacements, chiller replacements, cooling towers, et cetera. And then we also wanted to make sure, hey, we're not just using this as a way to drive savings for the school district and the county, but also we're using it as a way to educate students that they can take these energy savings behaviors home to their family. So we had solar picnic tables that were included in that project. We had a volt control program that was used to educate students on turning off equipment, turning off the lights when it wasn't being used, things like that. And so really in wrapping things up, the idea of this project is not, do we want to spend a few million dollars to upgrade these schools or not? It's really, where do we want to spend our money over the next 15 to 20 years? Right now, the money for this project is already being spent. It's just going to the utility company because you've got old, inefficient equipment in a lot of your school buildings. This would allow us to upgrade that equipment and take money that you're currently sending to the utilities and instead send it to repay for the project retroactively. I think a huge takeaway for this project is it allows us to get several million dollars of investment without having to come to the county and say, hey, XYZ piece of equipment failed and we need some emergency funding. This is really going to help get the school district into a more proactive approach from a maintenance standpoint. And so the reason we brought this to y'all today is that you do have one role in the process, not today, but much later on, probably late 2025 or early 2026. If you all support this project, the school district would bring a resolution to you, which I've provided a copy of. And really all this resolution says is that you wouldn't cut the utility budget of the school district because of the project that was done. And the reason for that is because they need to have the savings to pay for their project retroactively, right? So if they don't have the savings there because you've cut them, then all of a sudden they're not able to pay for the project after the fact. So a lot of commissioners have supported this project all across North Carolina because it's, hey, we just want to take the money we're giving the school district and spend it more efficiently, as opposed to having to go out and find new ways to drive funding to be able to resolve these needs or have to dip into the general fund.
So let me understand, this is self-sufficient from the go, from where it go, pretty much. So.
Yeah, this should be a completely budget-neutral approach. Okay. I think what we're looking for today is just some informal support from the commissioners to go through the process. The school district will have to go through a procurement process and a design process, and then they bring this resolution back to you completed once they know what the project would look like.
Older than that.
Middle school, maybe?
2007 was the first year.
2007? I'm trying to remember.
It goes quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, middle school boilers are 19 years old than middle okay. school boilers are. Yeah, and your chillers are the same age there at that middle school. Yeah. End of life, unfortunately.
How about the high school? How's that look? I know it's about playing.
High school is in much better shape than the middle school. Middle schools, you know, typically those big pieces of HVAC equipment have a 20-year lifespan, so they're just kind of right there at the end. But the high school is in better shape.
Where's your company based on?
So my office is in Raleigh, but we've got offices all across the state. We've got over 1,500 employees in North Carolina, through Charlotte, Greensboro, Raleigh. We've got a small office in Wilmington.
Thank you for your presentation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The presentation. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you again, Mr. Graham and Dr. Smallwood. Okay.
Yeah, questions?
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. At this time, we will have our update from lobbyist Mr. Bob Steinberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good evening to you and members of the board and Mr. Manager, good to see you again. Thank you for your kind invitation to be here this evening to bring you an update on where we are with the 2025-26 biennial budget. And right now, here we are on the 16th day of June. There is no budget yet. The House and the Senate conferees have not even gotten together yet to try and hammer out the negotiating to come up with a final budget. So the big difference between the two chambers and the point that everybody seems to be hung up on in Raleigh is the fact that the Senate would like to go ahead and continue cutting taxes as they have been doing right along. That's the state income tax rate. And the House is taking a more cautious approach because they're not quite certain with the economy, what kind of impact these tariffs are going to have. We don't know what the president's going to do about the Department of Education, whether he's going to continue it or not. So these are things that in putting a budget together, you'd like to have some certainty as to what's going to be happening, and there is no certainty at this point in time. So what I foresee happening is that the at the end of the month, the end of June, I think the legislature, the legislators and the legislature are going to stop for a couple of months. They will be out, I'm guessing, July and August. And then we'll come back in September to have another whack at it and see if they can come up with a budget. But so far, I mean, no budget. I mean, that means any request that anybody has made, nothing's happened. And it's kind of concerning, but if anybody has been following the legislature for the last 8 to 10 years, this has kind of been the modus operandi. They're supposed to be done by the end of June, and they always say they're going to be done by the end of June, but we've gone as late as September, October, November. Now, as far as the budget is concerned, there is a continuing budget resolution that goes into effect immediately. So everything that the state is funding, again, without a 25-26 biennial budget, everything the state is funding will be continuing as it was. It's called a continuing resolution, and things will be funded at the same levels they were. So that's kind of where we are right now. Not a whole lot to report. I was at the County Commissioners Association Day last Wednesday in Raleigh, and got to meet with a lot of legislators and advocate for you all. And I have your list that was sent me of all of the things that you're looking for in this particular budget, you're hoping for, and we're hoping for you. And I can assure you that all of the folks who are in the catbird seats that are making those kinds of decisions have this information. And so now we're just in a waiting game. We just have to wait and see what happens. Any questions that anybody might have? If that's all right with you, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Anybody have any questions? Mr.
Steinberg? What do you think would be a good estimation of when you could possibly update us or stop back by?
Well, I can update you as often as you'd like, and certainly if anything breaks or changes, you all will be the first to know. I just don't anticipate it. Having been there as long as I have, going back 10, 12, 14 years, it's, I think, July and August are out. So there will be no update until September. I'm hoping that by mid-September, the end of September, we'll have a better idea as to there are big drains on the budget this year, but drains of necessity are, of course, the situation we have on the West. So the people in Western North Carolina have a lot of needs, and that is a top priority of the legislature to try and get as many funds as they can out to them to help get those folks back on their feet. And so it's not a normal year, under any circumstances. And I would say, this isn't a negative report. It's not a positive report. It's just an update as to where we are. I wish the budget were here. We could move on, but.
Yeah, I was up there legislative day with Executive Director Brian Buck from Mid-East Commission, and I was up there Tuesday and Wednesday this week as well. So, advocacy day.
Yeah, right. Were you up there on did you go out up there?
Yeah, I was too. I was there, but. We had some good breakouts.
Well, I think the County Commissioners Association has some really significant things that they're advocating for. There's some other things, like I'm sure you're familiar with House Bill 765, which they're against, which would be troublesome for all the counties, I think, especially the small rural counties. And I think the advocacy on the part of the Commissioners Association is good. I know your new chairman that'll be taking place. I don't know when he goes into office, but whenever Wallace Nelson from Women's County is the new chairman of the County Commissioners Association. And he met with, he and a couple of folks from the CCA met with Senator Berger for about an hour and 15, 20 minutes last Wednesday. So, nothing changed, but Senator Berger got to hear what was on the minds of the and the concerns of the county commissioners.
So I know we're waiting for the budget to come in, and while we're waiting, do you still go and kind of lobby and talk to the folk in Raleigh and let them know what's going on? Yeah.
This information, which you provided me and I provided them, it's still necessary from a lobbyist standpoint. You've got to just go back and, remind them, and maybe you can just slip that on the top of the pile, that sort of thing. They're very well aware. That's ongoing. Until the budget is finally passed, we are continually advocating. And the gentleman that I work with, that also works for Bertie, his office is right next door in the legislative building, so he's there every day. And so it's a situation that works well. I mean, the advocacy is there. We just have to see what. Now, you're not going to get everything, but I don't know if you'll get anything. I mean, we don't know. There's no budget. We just have no way of knowing. But I can assure you, if there is no budget, that's not only going to impact you. I mean, nobody else going to. What could happen is if the Speaker of the House and the President pro tem of the Senate and not get together on this budget. And basically, that's where it is right now. It's a two-corner office. We got to get those guys to agree. And if there is not a budget,
Thank you so much, Mr. Steinberg.
I want you to know that I do hear from you all the time. This gentleman right here at the end, he and I talked about once a month, 5 or 6 weeks. So he's checking in on me to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm going to do it anyway. But yeah. I just want you to know that Nick Robinson he talks to me a lot. So I know what's going on here as well. It's an honor and privilege on Jackson Stancil's part and my part to represent the county of Bertie in that regard, lobbying for your interest. And we'll continue. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Okay. At this time, we'll have a strategic plan presentation, a tall glass of water, phase two. Stage and pavilion layout, choose name for a tall glass of water, flood resiliency contract, cash out drainage, public comment, and commissioner approval for public access grant, travel and tourism master plan, appointment of TDA officers by Ms. Robin Payne. So good to see you.
And I really didn't make all that list just tonight. We had it divided up between last meeting and Stage. And that will have a driveway that goes to the stage to the back. It will be 30 inches off the ground. It will be 2 by 30. That area of the seating. Purpose of the grant is
what's the top two? The first two pictures, and the bottom looks like a pavilion. But what's that? Oh, I'm sorry.
John might make maybe some possible solar shade. They have 6-inch deep crack across the top, 15-foot width, and then it has channels that follow us coming down. You can see that. So I think that will potentially
grant money that we still have left to spend.
This project has
to be sure there was money already. They have $600,000 grant.
We have it already.
Yes, we have.
Okay. Sorry, I said two. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not. I'll share that with you earlier.
$500,000 grant,
$100,000. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, the black dots, that's the camper area.
Correct.
That's, I just want to.
So
yeah,
that's camper. The parking lot that's etched in there right now, that will be. We can pull that down closer to the campground so that they will be able to get the campground. Phase one is that we will provide a walking trail to the overlook.
But just while you have this pulled up, because we were talking about that, those dots are the primitive camper sites that already have. Yeah, so, but he really wants to know, where is the phase 3 or 4 for where would the actual RVs go? I mean, you don't, where up here would it be?
Eastern part.
So it's not even, because isn't that the pavilion, the top red line, that's the pavilion? No.
So this is, no. So when you turn into Bertie Beach,
uh-huh,
and you're going down that road, all of that woodland area, that it's already been forested, you know, all of that woodland area is RV, future RV.
We communicated with NCDOT about that road going from Highway 17 right down to the beach. Can you give us a
update? The visitor center?
Yes.
Is that what you said? So DOT
and the road is right, and the road is set because, you know, the lanes are very narrow. Now they doing new location, you know.
So you're asking me for about the visitor center or about roadways?
Roadways.
I don't have any
information
on roadways. You know, they have it in the connectability scope for
85 and 87.
But that's so far out. And that CTP, I think, is 5 years. A comprehensive transportation plan.
How about an update on the Welcome Center? Is that? Have y'all discussed
the spaces they were for it, but you know,
no discussion.
Well, I wouldn't say there's no discussion. I would say it's so far out. It's on all of the plans. Every time we talk to an overlapping agency, we include it. So we're working on phase two. Hopefully Bertie can move forward on phase three. If you can get the campgrounds installed, that will be a significant revenue source to come in,
right,
which will push you forward in doing so much more, not just for Bertie Beach, but all of your other recreation too. Okay. So it's not forgotten, but.
I've been primitive camping, but that was in my younger days, in case you were trying
to. I knew you knew what it was. I just didn't want you to think that was the camp, where campers Bertie, could be.
Wasn't in Bertie Camp.
No.
It wasn't in North Carolina.
So, now, Donna's ordered some tables out there. We have some railroad ties on order to come and, you know, mark out the spaces. But there have been people. And we need to zero in on the campground agreement. Or if we want to start actually, you know, bringing people in to camp through the registration system. Roanoke River Partners provided an agreement to look at, a contract. I don't know who to look at.
I'll follow back up with the attorney. I'll follow back up with them and figure out where we are.
Because we just
need to.
I'll follow
that's up. All right. We have looked at easily 24 names over the past 5 years. We have collected all sorts of names, and they kept getting filtered and filtered. Some names were names in other states, whatever. These were the two that were, you know, narrowed down: River Meadow and River Landing. People wanted the word Bertie in there, and they wanted the word river in there. And then the icons on the right, these would be flavors that DVD would work around the name. So if any of those names hit you, those were, we, maybe 2 years ago, we sent out a survey to, you know, staff to, and we just kept compiling. There was, we know the locals, everybody will always call it Bertie Beach. That's a given. That's.
Hmm? not a marketing guy. Help me understand.
You all, it's mostly woodland.
Okay.
It's mostly woodland. It's not a beach. So, I'm trying not to interject too much of my, you know. I mean, River Meadow, that speaks to both. Right? So a lot of people felt like landing, like on the, you know, on the shore. Other names, do you want me to go through the other names? But these received the highest checks.
So you give it to some kindergartners, to third graders, and let them come.
We have gotten a lot of names.
There's about 10 of them now.
Hmm?
Let me see five. Some of your five.
Well, here's another River Haven, Cypress Sands, Tall Nature Retreat. Tall is the Tuscarora name for calm water, T-A-W. I don't have my list in front of me. Hold, oh, here we go. Eagle's Edge, Tall Nature Retreat. And this is the most recent compilation of names. It was a longer list a few years ago. But then we also do a regions check if it's too similar to something else. You know, naming it Chowan something, but that Albemarle doesn't work. Moves into another area. My vote is River Meadow. It's really cool. It's different. You don't need to vote tonight. Great. Not a huge. I mean, it is, because it would be great to get signs done and to get some brochures done and get the final maps done. Okay. Want to move on? Next thing?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. This past winter, Coastal Resiliency Project, or Flood Resiliency, RFQ that went out. This is for the Kashai River Drainage Project. They circled it in red. It's for two areas. They're connected, these areas. They just were represented on two different maps. So we got the RFQs in, they were scored. We went with Deal & Associates. They presented us with a contract for $281,100. And we asked them to break it out into a scope of work. You know, who are the different subcontractors and the specific areas of focus for work that they would be doing. And we did that. And what we could do after talking with our BRIC agents with Mideast, and our BRIC funding, remember, is coming via Mideast from Department of Public Safety. Okay. So we have $157,000, $157,500. Okay. I am asking that we approve Mr. Deal and Associates contract part A, because we have that funding in place, and then part B when we apply for that funding. There is a grant that's available right now on a rolling basis. We apply for it, we would know within a few weeks about receipt. And then we would just go ahead and do part B. Part B is specifically the geotechnical assessment. So it's a big part of this contract. And it's with, you know, one of their subs. So here's my notes. So So part B would be 123,600, so 123. And we feel like because it is a FEMA generated funding that we should go ahead and get the contract signed and move forward. Right. Start spending the funds.
And what was the match on that?
Your match is crazy. Do you remember what it was? It's like the county's match was 37.5, I think. Mm-hmm. The rest, and then there was $7,500 that we could get additionally on top of the base grant of 120 something. I don't have it broken out in front of me, but the total was 157.
Well, on the first part for the 157, what is the scope of the work?
Okay, it's drainage shed modeling. Part of the Hoggardville Creek drainage, Kashai River impoundments, and the deliverables are the reports, feasibility study, the impacts of the impoundments, 13 potential impoundment locations, and that's between Hoggard's Mill area and Kaukaua Maker Swamp, where they connect.
Then we do it. I thought we went down Hogger Mill before and done a study on the drainage.
So what are you talking about? NCSU, North Carolina State University?
Right.
Right. So those have been very helpful, all of those studies.
Okay.
And if you didn't have those, that data available, right, this would be three times as much. So Dr. Dahl, and Dr. Riggs and that team, they had sent all the data to Mr. Deal. And so that's why this is this price. So the modeling in layman's terms is they're going to run a number of different scenarios on water coming from different directions and whatnot. And, you can't just assume that one solution is going to work. If you're blocking up water in one area, it's going to maybe move over into another. Mm-hmm. So they have to run different models.
Have there been any talk about scabbing the cache? With the escalator, they run right through the air and for the last 50 years and pick up everything that, stopping the water from
snag and drag.
Snag and drag everything. Because this is what happens in Robo Lake over the years and years, everything tends to pile up and nowhere for the water to go but up and out on
right,
the people.
Right. Well, this is oft related but not on my list. So Tracy, what was it, like a few weeks ago we had a call with what was the office?
Right.
I don't remember. The North Carolina Resiliency Program that we got the grants to do all of these studies, they're interested in going deeper. And so they want to know about for communities, tier one especially, that are experiencing all of these different flooding issues. One of those items is maintenance.
Right.
And that is in your flood resiliency plan for Bertie County is, and this will help you too.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Is, but to do like snag and drag operations right. and keep, you have to keep doing it, which means you need to have a person doing it, right? Like a department to stay on top of it. So getting assistance to do that would be a good thing. So that's one idea that's in the hopper of, to help counties address these problems before they become crises, like not just fixing things after the flood.
What agency would that be?
North Carolina Wildlife.
Fisher and Wildlife, we need a partnership with them. We need a partnership when get ready to do a job like that. We partnership with North Carolina Fishery and Wildlife. They have guys to go out and clean those rivers out.
And they do work with RCCP. So North Carolina Resiliency Planning, I'm losing track of all the acronyms, you know. it's the group that funded this project, all right? They're focused on flooding assistance, okay? And not just coastal counties. You know, we're not coastal. We're inner banks, but we've got flood problems. And so they are trying to address the gap. And there are gaps, you know. A lot of counties, they just, you know, they're wealthier. They go after the grants. You know, they have departments to do that. And some people we're fixing it along the way every time we have a flood. So we need to not do that. So they're trying to come up with, maybe there's some other programming systems that they can put in place to enact fixes. I hope I was like, wasn't prepared to go down that, but.
Still on? Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question from a legal standpoint, mm-hmm. because I've tried to stop commissioners from ever signing the contract containing any provision like this one. Okay. And on the last page of this contract, first paragraph states, it's understood in the group. Shall be renegotiated to reflect any increase in costs incurred by the engineer from the beginning date of the agreement. Increased costs should be defined as an item of expense experienced by the engineer, which results in an increase in cost of doing business. After the 7-12 month period, no work will proceed till the fees for the uncompleted services are negotiated. So basically, this is a contract. We agreed that we'll negotiate again if they just decide they don't want to do anything for their hundred and some odd thousand dollars and sit still. We are forced to renegotiate with them in a year. Okay. Now, if they can't guarantee completion within a year, why should we sign this contract?
Okay, so do you want to mark that up, or you just want me to get them forward?
I'll redraft it, whichever, if I ever get time to get away from the problem that I can't talk to you about right now.
All right.
I just, you know, in my office, we call them, you know, they're not contracts, they're agreements to agree. Because it basically says that, you know, it's understood and agreed that if it's in, completed, well, heck, you know, hurricane season's here. And, you know, I don't know what it takes to do an impoundment study, but it sounds like.
Right.
They're getting ready to basically do two impoundment studies. And, you know, I would defer a more defined scope of work. I see they've got 13 things they've excluded, all of which are pretty important. And if they are excluded, that's fine. But, and we've got the money, and I'm not trying to object to spending it. But what they're agreeing to do is surveying for $30,000 on the Hoggard Mill. Surveying $20,000 for the Cheyenne Impoundment, geotechnical preliminary assessment of potential dam sites, 12, same for the Cheyenne 12, and then H&H modeling / engineering, 435, and then H&H modeling engineering, $40,000. Well, I'm not even sure exactly what H&H modeling / they don't like this board. Never, and I've been over it the time too, but I've never urged them to enter into a contract that says we're contracting to agree that if you're sorry and don't do your job in a year, you know, what we're more used to seeing is you do this in 12 months or you start paying us liquidated damages. And if I redrafted it, that's what's going to happen, depending on what the commissioners want to do. But, you know, my job is to point out
sure.
they theoretically could not do their own thing, and we would have no remedy whatsoever under this contract because they wouldn't have breached it. You know, we need to have an absolute deadline, or it's not much of a contract.
Got it.
And I'm so and I know you, I, you're doing the best you can. I know you didn't draft this. This is them. Probably their lot. Well, I've been trying to get all these contracts stuck. I just caught when I read this one, I thought, gee whiz, you know, I don't know these folks. I do know them quite well, and I take clients, deal with them, and have actually been to court with them in front of the Dare County Commissioners, and we won. They did good work, but I just think for commissioners' sake and county's sake, and the sake of our $157,500, they ought to be able to say we can get it done in 12 months. We can't. If they say we can't do it for 16 months, okay, fine. That may be something we want to consider, but I don't think we want to give them an unlimited time where we then start negotiating. Suppose they decide to give all their secretaries a $25 raise. Under this contract, we'd be liable for that in 12 months. I don't think that's what we want to do.
So more defined time frame. Got that last paragraph.
I mean, there's so much wrong with the last paragraph that I don't know how. I mean, if the commissioners may accept anything, I would redraft it totally, and they probably wouldn't accept it. Maybe their lawyer, us, need to talk, but or the three of us all. I don't know, but I'm saying, you know, because I have no idea how long it would take to do something like this. But it seems like to me, 12 months would cover it. We're talking about a 15-minute truck drive from here to Ogden Mill. So, you know, it's not like we're exploring the Amazon. And I'm not making fun of these folks, but I mean, really.
We've been out there a couple times.
Well, I've been up and down in kayaks back before I had my back injury.
I mean, with the engineers going over what they have to do. So, and then just a more detailed explanation.
Sure. And I mean, I don't think that we can, in good faith, spend the people's money by agreeing to a contract where it basically says we don't get it done, you've got to renegotiate. Okay. Well, what if we can't successfully renegotiate? I got our $157,500 and we have nothing.
Point taken. Sounds good. I can do it.
Why not? I'm not trying to sound ill. I'm just trying to sound like a lawyer.
No, it's good. It's good. No, we can do it. Move on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Law.
Okay.
Thank you.
I mean, I'll move forward on as fast as I can. But,
okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Next is. All right. So, Bert, you know, remember we submitted a pre-application to public access grant for CAMA. And this is for the path to the beach, converting it to asphalt, and working on the beach extension, which is part of the cliff stabilization project. We were approved, and now it's time to submit the final grant. It's due the end of July, and approving the submission of the grant for a total of $80,000 is part of the grant package. So I will need to supply the minutes. For July 31st, for that grant.
We have any match on that grant?
It's already in place.
Already in place? Okay.
Just need a copy of the minutes.
Well, and approved formally. Please approve.
You got to make a motion. Yeah, both.
That's it's in seven down here, I think. Yeah, it's in the consent where you need to vote.
No, that's separate.
Oh, well, we need to add it in here somewhere then?
Just go ahead. Go ahead and do it, Jim.
Sure. We'll
just go ahead. You get a motion to go ahead and approve. Ms. Robin, to move forward with applying for the grant for $80,000. Motion by
Commissioner Robinson, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
All right. To move forward, Ms. Robinson.
Okay, so Bertie County Tourism Development Authority held their first meeting today from 11 to 1 with Mr. Kavanaugh. And Jody Ray was there. And they nominated three officers. And those three officers, Laura Orsini for president, Patricia Ferguson for vice president, and Kelsey Reeside for secretary. The three of them have accepted, and so the commissioners will need to formally nominate or approve those three individuals.
Mr. Chairman, I sit on this board as representation of the chamber, so I will exclude myself from voting okay. at this time.
Can we get a motion to accept the appointments of the names that has been called out by Ms. Robin to sit on the TDA board?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Second. We have a motion on the floor by Vice Chairman Hoggett, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor of the appointment, the names that was given for the appointments, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. Names accepted.
Thank you. Okay. Jody, are you there?
They've not been able to hear this meeting. Something happened with the sound.
I think you're going to have to adjust the volume because of the static.
I've been getting texts. They said no.
They can't hear.
Do the best I can. So the occupancy tax will start being collected July 1. Some detailed questions came up today, and Jody is contacted School of Government to define those, get answers. And it's, if somebody has paid already, you know, a month ago or something in October, do we go back to them and say, you owe us 6%? No. We just want to be sure. So we're saying new reservations, July 1. New reservations, July 1. And then he's also just clarifying with School of Government that, you know, it's confirming that it is the TDA's responsibility, right, to make that decision. We're new. Everybody's new on that board, so we just want to be sure. But he'll get back to it. But it is July 1.
Okay.
All right, strategic planning. So I have a question. Have you been able to look over the digital strategic plan that you've gotten? I mean, because a lot of this plan is, the information is geared toward links, more information, examples from other, you know, towns and what. So the construction of it is, yes, we still have the Excel work plan that we worked on for a while. That will come in very useful when you start getting real numbers put in place, and you need to spread them out over time. And you can use that Excel to build that budget. So you'll have the link to that. But if we start from the very beginning, that 7/20 is the all of the Bertie County statistics that we'll see in all of our recently published reports. And I'd like to go. Then we go to, these are all the statistics that every report is going to come out. The earth is going to be but it's really, it's a subset of this plan. So this plan, we're looking for you to identify and put into play the overarching picture. Your goals, okay, moving forward. Oh, and so Commissioner Robertson, on the lower left-hand corner here, that's Department of Transportation's, okay, CTP. So that should have a lot of additional information in there that links, like Bertie Beach, too. And then the Mideast, the SEDS report. So asset identification. So we start off identifying assets because obviously, you know, we have citizen needs. We have county government needs. But to be able to take care of those year after year, we need to grow. And so for a county to grow, we need to, what do you grow around? Do you grow around your assets? So the rest of the strategic plan, or the guts of it, is a result of meeting with the department heads, the different focus groups, two surveys. We looked at previous plans that had overlapping and very, very pointed targets that we were experiencing now, gaps that needed to be addressed, talking to other tier one communities. And over the last year, I have attended a number of economic development conferences where people were zeroing in, and I'm seeing a lot of gap filling. People are, there's more attention being paid to rural areas, there's more attention being paid to, we know we have grant funders out there, and yet we're not meeting all the needs. We're not connecting. So I'm seeing a lot of resources that have popped up in being able to find funding.
So you're saying we're missing an opportunity to get grants?
I think you're missing a lot of opportunities. But but you're not alone, okay? But to be ready for grants, we got to have a funding plan. And to have a funding plan, we have a lot of homework to do first. So I think of it like a pyramid. So you've come so far already. You've got that base level, right? I mean, you've worked on your strategic plan. You've got your occupancy tax done. You've got your TVA done. You've got a lot of reports done. When I go elsewhere, I do hear people saying, oh, you're from Bertie County. You know, they're doing such good things out there. You know, so people are copying a lot of what you're doing. But I'm also seeing holes, and you're making me jump too forward, but we need a little bit more of capacity building work that needs to get done so that we can jump on the funding, right? So I will get to that. So, all right, asset development. So with the help of DVD, you know, we did the focus groups, surveys, blah, 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 and top of the list was people valued downtown and the main streets, outdoor recreation. Those were the top two. And then, of course, we know agriculture. But agriculture is not just big agriculture. You know, that's economies of scale. That's way different. We're talking, we've got great mom-and-pop farms around here that want to find ways to expand their business. Sell locally, you know, package, lots of opportunities. So over and over again, we're seeing other tier one counties identify the same, you know, asset. So we're all going in the same direction. It's not new. So that is that report. Then you move to page 29, you know, the famous SWOT analysis. We know our weaknesses, we know our threats, strengths, opportunities. That's what we're focusing on. Because if we don't concentrate on strengths and opportunities, we're not going to be able to address the weaknesses. Okay. Move to page 31, key findings. Here we are. That's where I'm going to start cheerleading. Key findings again. Downtown and main streets, outdoor recreation and agriculture. And you know, the travel and tourism industry, the numbers that we're seeing, they do focus on downtowns. Your downtowns are one of your primary assets. You guys are lucky. They need help, but they're one of your primary assets. But I'll get to more of that in a second. If you look to the pie chart on the right, see where the blue stars are? Those are the two biggest dollar generators. Arts, entertainment, recreation, and food service and retail. We're missing out on the two biggest pieces of the pie because we don't have that brick and mortar presence. We know outdoor recreation. We know that's big. And agriculture.
Robin, let me answer this question.
Yeah.
Department of Chamber, Department of Commerce, rather. They play a major role in assessment with inflation. Are we getting out? Sure.
Department of Commerce? I don't know.
I think having to put out Greenville, and you go downtown, and you look at their downtown, and then 40 miles north, you come back to 13, and you don't see in Windsor, you don't see how that town is being developed. I think we're missing something. We're missing some connections where that the chambers, I mean, the Department of Commerce is assisting them in their development. Where that, you know, we have someone to plug in, say, look, Windsor, some other towns in Berkeley County, Orlando, yep. Coleraine, you know, Murray Hill, you know, places, they need some assistance too.
Right, so here's what I've had experience with in the last year, is when I'm applying, you need to have the business ready to go. So that business needs to be identified. For that vacant structure, if we're talking brick and mortar, if we want to apply for that grant, we need to have that business ready to go. How many employees do they have? What's their business plan? That's the direction they've taken, Department of Commerce. So now, and that's why I have, I'm hoping for some money to be put aside to help partner with downtowns to meet that gap. Because we're not being competitive with everybody else because we need to do a little bit more to get there, yeah, to I be think, able to apply.
Yeah, I think the other part of that too is,
pardon?
I think and believe the other part of that solution is people just don't know.
People don't know.
The resources that is their form, you know, because a lot of people, you know, will help buy these, some of these buildings and be very creative. We have some very creative people in Berkeley County.
Right, and so, but that takes a real push to move forward. I mean that, and so, I mean that train is still moving forward. But the criteria for some of the Department of Commerce grants has changed a little bit.
Okay.
So to be more competitive in NABA, we need to help some towns, businesses, whatever, be prepared, more prepared. So, there's a number of grants I wasn't able to get.
So I guess that was my question. Are you talking about us applying for grants? Or are you talking about business owners applying for grants? Because here's why I said that, while you get your thoughts together. Because I think that's why we have a lot of confusion. Everybody wants Burt T. County government to build a grocery store, to build a Walmart. That's not us. It's not what we do, right? Like, so that's why I'm asking you, what grant, or who are you talking about applying for grants for buildings? And because if we own it, we don't pay taxes and we don't make money. So that's why I want that very clear to find out what you're talking about right now.
So, some towns, there are municipal or county-owned structures. Okay? You all could apply for this, right? But you're still going to have to spend some money to get a plan done, right? To be competitive. You're still going to have to do some work to find what's that business going to be that goes in there, right?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. Then I'll ask my question. We need to do a study on what business somebody else opens?
This Allander building that the county owns?
Yes. Yes.
Do you want to apply for some grant money to clean that up and get this project moving forward? And go to the next page. See the floor plan down below? That's almost in my. And I met him at a conference early spring, and he showed his project, which is the top four photos, and I showed him pictures of this building. And he's like, oh yeah.
So you're talking about grants that refurbish buildings we already own. But then we already need a business that's going to go in this building.
The grant is not going to come to you to just work on a shell building. They want to see where it's going. Which
I get that too, but I don't know.
Or you can sell this building.
Mm. Oh, wait, you mean we can't fix it up and sell it? We need to sell it so somebody.
It needs to be fixed up so that it's strengthened.
So I thought it was falling. Didn't somebody tell me the roof was falling in?
If you bring the whole thing down, you're compromising the structure that sits. So they're looking at, keeping the facade, keeping the side in place, and then keeping the foundation, those center walls, those two in the middle. Anyway, he turned his into five apartments on the top and three retail down below. And he said we could use the floor plan. It's almost identical, square footage wise. And then he ran the numbers and all of that. Okay, let's get back to your question. Okay, so some businesses have gotten grants, but they partner with a town. Do it. If possible. They have to have their plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where if a downtown wants help, and it benefits us all for a downtown that has a lot of brick and mortar to, fix it up, help people, do it as a team. Helps everybody. I mean, the work is planned to be people can get out and walk, right? Walking trails, moving around. They want to walk to town. They want to go and have coffee. They want to go do something. Coffee and snack shops are the first thing that get put into brick and mortar. And then after that is a restaurant, and then it's the tool and the sundries, those types of shops. Those were the statistics. Then if you go back to your digital copy, and then I guess you can put this on the county website, right, for people. All of these towns are Carolina Tier 1 municipalities where these towns have done amazing things. And they've started from scratch, not unlike you. And they have each said, oh, we'll come. We'll come and talk. We'll come and help. It was great. Lots of examples. But this 15-minute city man, I thought that was really good. Because what have we been talking about? We've been talking about walking trails, right? We've been talking about health. You don't want people to sit inside, right? You want them to get out. You want people to be more social. Also, there's new housing tax credit legislation, revitalizing downtown and Main Street debt. Came out in 2024. So there's some real shifting happening. Cost of an empty building. This it keeps getting updated, but it's true. It costs a lot of money for vacants for properties to just sit. Okay, so again, I'm giving you three examples of RT assets that I go deep in. Okay. So number one is your downtown and Main Streets. Partner with the downtowns. Get something moving.
Oh yeah, I just thought she was doing primitive sites since that's what we had. But I think this goes back to why he asked about the roads, like getting the RVs in there. Because currently, nothing, no.
So
you call it too big, you can't pass.
Mm-hmm. From 17 so, in. Is that what you're saying?
That's the point of opening.
Go ahead.
And one day when you have a lot more retail shops in different towns, people are going to explore different towns. You're going to be spending money there. That's your. Your third asset is. So. Because they want to explore value of it. The right process. Food hubs. And so a great example of working landscapes in Warrenton, North Carolina, and also Henderson, pretty proud of the produce. You know, they want food grocery, a little bit. And yes, they're selling fresh fruits and all, and they're not high dollar. And that's really great that people are able to walk there and get food. But then they're also, they're bringing in from local growers, you know, so positive all the way around. So page 45. So again, harnessing the existing asset. So the plan is constructed around planning, harnessing the assets, and support and promotion of local entrepreneurship. Because the desire is there. There's lots of creativity in Bertie. And again, it's like a pyramid. Got a good base to go up to the next tier now. And just keep refining it. When I drive through the downtowns, everybody's got a different story. It's really cool. And these are not huge downtowns. They're small. It's all doable. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So here's what you may want to do. Pages 47 to 51. They go in detail what I would do in the next 2 years. This is all the different capacity building work and the money that may be required for it. Okay? And once you do the capacity building work, you'll have the estimates to put into the next 3 years for your 5-year plan. You don't know those numbers yet because you haven't looked at the infrastructure needed to, you know, sat down to scope out all the different. Do what?
The button. Unless you don't have
pages. I'm so focused on this. Well, and I don't know what to do. I know I'm eating up a lot of time. Do you want to go for all these now, or do you want to go into another work session and go over this in detail? I mean, I.
Mm-hmm. A work session.
It's up to you all.
Work session. Work session. You mean.
Yeah. I mean, digest the three areas and then we can come back and dive into, you know, the monies, and a lot of these don't require monies, but they require effort and they require a team working together to get it done.
Okay.
And then at the same time, we should talk about when we do the strategic plan revisit. Can we do it in July?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, this works.
Work session in July.
Like during a day, right? And then we'll look at DBD Planning's Travel and Tourism Master Plan, which is all about outdoor recreation projects and downtown planning. But if you don't approve this, you mean, we're not approving that. I mean, they go hand in hand. They're the book that we're gonna use and that the TDA is gonna use. But we talk about this first.
All right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think it's truly personality. $200,000 sitting on the down to the commission.
Yeah.
Next week, but I'm just, you know, it's not been advertised enough, and this has nothing to do with legal, but I've been trying to push this daggone thing now for almost 40 years. You know, it's $200,000 sitting there waiting to be lent out at extraordinarily low interest rates that we already have. You know, it's got to be used in Windsor Townships, right. But, you know, I'm not advocating for Windsor, you put it, I don't care where you put it. Asking was fine with me, you know, but you can do, I have not seen this model before, but I have about 15 minute towns. You probably do one of those for under $200,000, you know, if you've got some other grant money coming in. And if people knew they could borrow this money at this low interest rates, you know, it helped get a significant business here, the roofing business. That's how it came to be, you know.
That's right. That's right.
It's now been paid off, and that $200,000 is just sitting there, was driving me crazy.
Yeah.
I told Robin I'd help her purely a little bit. So
yeah.
Now I have more work to do.
Well, I mean, that is so good. That's just money to save.
Yeah.
But even one. You want to let me sit down somewhere?
There's a meeting at 10 o'clock on Wednesday. Come on, the township.
I just call have enthusiastic borrowers, and I don't think got people to know that they can borrow money there. I mean, in a time of 7.5% funding for residential development, and even higher than that for construction, when somebody tells you, hey, here's some money to come up with a sensible plan, we'll lend you money.
Mm-hmm. That's good information. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm starting to see things torn down. I'm like, this is
something. Yep. Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Robin, for the portion that you did cover. Yes. At this time, we're going to move along and start our board appointments. The first thing we have is the ABC board. One appointment.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. We have a...
I'm sorry.
Miles Davis. Is there any other names out there? Did I hear?
No.
Tim Bazemore. I heard Tim Bazemore.
Six names.
Can we get a list of the names?
Sure. If you take a look at under B1 in your packet.
Okay. Just for the record, I would like to call these names out. Juwanna Brown, Coleraine, North Carolina. Pamela Shamley of Windsor, North Carolina. Devin Sanders of Lewiston, North Carolina. Diane Bazemore of Lewiston, North Carolina. Timothy Bazemore of Windsor, North Carolina. Miles Davis of Windsor, North Carolina. So far, I've heard two on Mr. Miles Davis. I personally, I would like to recommend Tim Bazemore. I don't know what's the decision of the other.
Second.
Which one?
Mr. Tim Bazemore.
Commissioner White.
All right. You got a second for Tim Bazemore.
They got a second for...
For Miles? Oh, it's me.
Yeah.
Oh, I see why you asked that. Tim Bazemore.
Got three for Tim Bazemore, two for Miles Davis. Majority is Tim Bazemore. Let's get a motion on the floor to
so move.
Have a motion on the floor to appoint Mr. Tim Bazemore as the ABC board appointee. Do we have a second? Yes, I have a second. And all in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Thank
you. Guys. The planning board, District 1, Windsor, District 3, Corwin, District 4, Roxville, Lewiston, District 5, Indian Woods, at large, two seats.
Chair Balance, we do have one more for the Snakebite Indian Woods, District 5, Carl Bond. I don't know if I can make a recommendation or not, Chair, but since we did not have two for the at-large seats, since there were additional people for District 1 and District 3, my recommendation just would be for whoever those two people are to serve as the at-large.
District 2. It's district.
Because you would have one for district, and then you have an extra two.
So you have the same, the number of people you need to fill that.
Okay. And it was one additional name, I'm correct?
Carl Bond. For Indian Woods.
For Indian Woods. Mm-hmm. Right. So we can actually just have a motion to accept all the names. That's...
District 1 and 3.
We actually need to put somebody.
You need to
and then move down
with
that.
That's right.
Okay, so District 1 is Pamela Shamley, Mayor Davis. You have to pick one of those?
Yes, sir.
And District 3 is Joanna Brown and Patricia Furtis. You have to pick one of those?
Yes, sir.
Make a motion for Mary Davis for District 1.
Second.
We're going to put Pam Shamley down.
Okay, District 1. It's been a motion put on the floor to put Mary Davis, second by Commissioner Saunders, and second by Commissioner White.
Pam Shambly. But we're just going to move her down to the bottom.
All in favor of Mary Davis for District 1 in Windsor? Let it be known by saying aye. All opposed, nay. All right, so moved. District 3, Corain, is Ms. Joanna Brown and Ms. Patricia Ferguson. Motion on the floor to nominate Ms. Patricia Ferguson. Is that a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Robinson. Motion by Vice Chairman Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. That will be Ms. Ferguson. District 4, Roswell Lewiston, will be Ms. Diane Bazemore. So moved. We have the motion to accept Diane Bazemore as that appointment. We have a second.
Second
by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. That will be Ms. Bazemore. District 5, Indian Woods. We have Mr. Carl Bond. Do we have a motion on the floor?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Mr. Bond. And at large is two seats. And we have Ms. Pam Shambler. And do we have one more candidate?
Juwanna Brown.
Juwanna Brown. So we can move Juwanna Brown. Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to appoint Ms. Pamela Shamley and Juwanna Brown?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. All right. Ms. Pamela Shamley and Juwanna Brown are here. Next, we have Rivers East Workforce Development, two appointments.
Chair Ballant, Mr. Carl Bond also applied for that as well.
All right. I make a motion for Devin Saunders and Miles Davis for this one.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to move forward with Mr. Miles Davis and Devin Saunders. We have a second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. So we have Mr. Devin Saunders and Mr. Miles Davis.
Mr. Chairman Balance, please let the record reflect that I abstained from voting. Devin is my son.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Commissioner Saunders. Okay. Now, Bert T. Martin Regional Jail Commission. We have one appointment.
Yeah, I make a recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely.
Ms. Pamela Shamler.
Okay. We have a recommendation of Ms. Pamela Shamler.
I have a recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Cynthia Bunch.
Ms. Cynthia Bunch.
You're making a face. Would you like to accept, deny?
She has all the experience that we need on the jail board.
Has she applied? She has no application.
Can she get an application in the morning?
Yes, it has to be on file for 7 days before I can bring it to the board.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll taper it. We'll taper that one to the next meeting.
I don't, Ms. Robinson, I don't think that's fair to the candidates that apply. We can't do that. That's not fair to Ms. Shamley, and she's already applied. I don't think that's in order.
I understand.
I think that's out of order.
I understand, Ms. Saunders.
So well, we're here to, you know, tonight to go ahead and appoint candidates, and we have candidates that have already followed the proper channels. So I think we need to go ahead and choose from the candidates we have at hand. And nothing personal against you, Ms. Bunch. It's just, yeah, we already have these candidates at hand, and it's on our agenda to make appointments tonight.
At this time, I'll make a motion to accept Pamela Chamley's appointment as jail board commission.
Okay. We still have we have a motion to accept Pam Shamley.
Second.
by Commissioner Saunders, second by Vice Chairman Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Ms. Pam Shambly. Board. And now we'll be moving to our consent agenda. First item to handle is to approve the April 3rd, 2025 special meeting and closed session minutes.
I was going to ask, can we do it all in one fell swoop, or do we need to go? I make a motion we approve April 3rd, special, closed, April 7th, regular, May 5th, regular, and May 14th work sessions.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Mike White, second by Commissioner Saunders to approve the minutes as read or discussed. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Okay, those are approved. Next line item, approve the April 2025 and May 2025 Register of Deeds fees report.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion to approve by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Next line item, approve the April 2025 Tax Release Journal.
So moved.
We have a motion by Commissioner White, seconded by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Next line item, approve Council on Aging Food Service contract with Trump's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
Says that the food service contract, this is the contract I did originally, and somebody's redone it 20 years ago maybe, but it says that part of the second part is located in Windsor, Berkeley County, North Carolina. I think Trump's Restaurant's in Washington County, Plumbing. So I hate to pretend it or something, and maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think that's where they're located.
Okay, if that's the case.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just suggesting. Contract got an error and it needs to be corrected.
Right, right.
Y'all moving fast tonight.
Are we?
Okay. Making sausage, but it makes you hungry. All right.
I
do believe, isn't that right, Juan?
I believe it is, but if we can confirm that.
It does the jail. They are.
Can we do that with a tentative address change?
Yes.
Okay. So can I get a motion to approve this with a tentative address change of the correct?
So moved.
Okay. We have a
second.
Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner White. All in favor of the approval of the Council of Aging Food Service contract with Trump's Restaurant with corrections made to the
address.
To the address. Let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approval and contractual agreement between Burke T. County Council on Aging and Interim Healthcare Morris Group Incorporated. I have a motion to approve.
Motion.
Have approval. We have a motion by Vice Chairman Hoggett.
Second.
I have a second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approve agreement for transportation services between CPTA and Burke T. County.
So moved.
So moved.
Have a Chairman, these motions said spelling changes because some spelling errors in the contract. I called.
Okay.
Late this afternoon, I called some other people. Y'all know I've been talking to the site. Haven't had a chance to mark them up, and they're just little teeny tiny things, but it just.
Yes, sir.
It's like I know I'm going out on parties that spell P-U-R-T-I-E-S.
Okay.
It's nothing changes the substance of any of the guns.
Right, I understand. Okay.
This is the worst speller you ever met.
Okay. On, on line item 5 and 6 with the spelling corrections, we definitely want to keep in mind the spelling corrections as we put the motions on the floor. So number 6 line item is the approved agreement for transportation service between CPTA and Burke T. County with spelling changes.
So moved.
So moved. By, we have a motion by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner Vice Chairman Hoggart. Let it be known that you approve by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Line item number 7, approval of special project consultant contract with Ms. Robin Payne. Do we have a motion on the floor?
Go first. I was just going to ask the question, are we going to do that tonight since we're not going to do number 8? That's going to be my question.
I think,
oh yeah.
Because in that part of number 8?
Let's, line items number 7 and line item number 8, we will move that until our next meeting.
Anyway, okay. My point was not
that. I'm sorry.
No, that's certainly don't want to take anything away from Robin, but I certainly want to make the contract so that it's set with certain contractual rules and it uses et cetera. Well, et cetera has no legal meaning. You don't use a contract. And that sounds like a small thing, but it also goes on to say, I will make every attempt to stay within the monthly ceiling amount, but it will depend on the status of the projects identified above. Well, that again is writing a blank check.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to have a discussion with Robin about, you know, if it goes up, how much does it go up? What does it go up? And who makes the decision on that? And again, I'm not trying to be hard on her. I would make the same comments about any contract, but that needs to be examined.
Okay. I agree.
This morning, the last one when I had to breathe, which was like at 9:15.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mr. Lowell.
I mean, I can come up with a draft of it by tomorrow. Probably, well, any tomorrow, but maybe.
I love it.
And letters week. And, I mean, it's easy to change.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, I think one has to have a conversation. Y'all need to see it so we know. Yeah, you need to set a ceiling because if you do go above $65 or $4,500 a month, it's set in there, how high do you want to go?
Right. That's right.
Of course, easy fix is all these projects are requested by y'all.
Right.
And there's no question as to what they are. And you can control it then because you can negotiate a
right. I think that's why it's in here because others used to give her projects to do freely.
I don't know.
That's right.
Oh yeah, I know why that's in there, and I'm glad she put it in there.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you for that, Mr. Lord.
Appreciate you, Mr.
And what we'll do is we'll table line items 7 and 8 until our next meeting. Yeah.
And I'll get some suggested language to you. I hope maybe
tomorrow.
Okay. We'll see.
All right. Other items, okay. Commissioner report. Commissioner Ross.
Chairman of the board, had an opportunity to go to Raleigh last week. So outbreak that main thing going on with mental health. They talk a lot about mental health, especially there in the jail. And you know that, If the DA office could connect with the jail administrator so that some of these cases would go ahead and be heard versus staying on the docket for a year. My experience, my profession, I own the bail bond service. Last month, I had a guy, I bond out 2013. just getting to court. And I told them, I was telling the the group that that don't make no sense. I mean, how can you not keep the jail freed up if you don't hear no cases? You know what I mean? You know, going down Durr County, my friend there, Alternate Smith, he always talked about Durr County. Going down Durr County, they'll call me when they got a crazy person. So, Mr. Robinson, please come get him. You know what I mean? If they have a person that's sick, I got a disease, they said, please come get him right now so he won't be in population. Right. You know what I mean? So our troubles down there, we get him to his family. He's out of population. That's a safe thing. You know what I mean? But we have to do a better job and these getting these cases heard so that they won't be in population and falling up to jail. It don't make no sense. We talk.
That is not a new problem.
I know, but it need to be cured, though, you know.
Yes, then in the only person calls cases for trials is attorney. You ask.
Yeah, that's a problem, man. Got to leave P. You know. That was one thing we talked about. But
then they said, okay, Ron, come sit down, be quiet.
That's a serious. But it isn't serious. We've been down this road before, and we've argued, but nobody's ever actually asked. I don't want the district attorney to come and address a problem because there's some statistics.
That's right.
I know the Saunders is in charge of the regional jail now, and she can supply some statistics. And it costs a lot of money to keep somebody incarcerated.
That's right.
And especially if they're guilty and they should be tried. Then it becomes a state's problem. It stops being
ours. Yeah. Isn't
that right, Mr. Robinson?
You're right.
Stop being your problem, too.
It's not being my problem.
Vice Chair. Well, I don't know if anybody asked. Juneteenth is celebration Saturday. Also, there is the, what do you call it, Music Around the World? That's happening in the month. Did I get it right?
No, I don't know what it's called. Music around somewhere.
I tried to do it last time. I'm talking about.
Make music.
It's making music. It's making music.
Be behind the town hall center.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Making music. That's
making
yeah,
music.
I heard that's
what I was trying to.
Different spots set up throughout the county.
Yes.
Be down there. Roberti Beach,
right? Indian Woods.
I don't have anything.
Mr. Sonics?
We're doing a large giveaway on the 21st also, and UNC Chapel Hill is coming to the Vitality Center, and they're doing a survey of health needs for rural communities and tier one communities. I also want to thank this board, Pastor Ray, when he initially came in, he thanked this board for their support behind me at my jail commission meeting in Martin County. And the outshowing of support by this board was amazing. And I just want to thank this board for supporting me by attending.
Okay. And I would just like to comment and let it go on record to say, I am grateful. However, I was prepared to balance the budget by any means necessary. And but I am grateful that we did not have to go into the educational fund. And I think it was a group effort to get there. And I just want to go on record to say that. All right.
And can we, Mr. Chair, can the clerk please share the hiring event with us that we're having.
Okay.
Yes. The Percy Martin Regional Jail, you will be, I'm the clerk to that commission. So we got with NC Works and Ms. Kelly has created a flyer for us. We are having a hiring event on next Tuesday, June 24th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Point of Extension office. We are looking for a detention officer, a jail administrator, and detention secretary. So if anyone is interested, please come by the Fourth District office next Tuesday from 10 to 6.
All right. There's no other reports. We'll now call on County Manager.
Chairman, the only report I have is to remind the board of the need to recess this meeting. We never confirmed a date for the next meeting. I think we were considering Wednesday of this week, but we must come back again once we have an opportunity to build the budget ordinance around the decisions made today. When we come back, we can adopt the budget ordinance and approve any other contracts that need to be approved.
Okay, outstanding.
Do we need to set a date now so we can get it out? Now or at the end of the meeting? Yeah. Yes. So the 18th of this week or the 18th next week, the 25th? What were we saying?
Say the 18th this week or the 18th next week?
I mean the 18th of this week or Wednesday, the 25th of next week.
When will you be in town?
Had me here since 4 o'clock, man. I'll be here both times. Okay. Both of those Wednesdays.
The 18th is the one that was suggested because our finance officer will not be here on Friday.
5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
So I got enough meetings on the 18th. I want
at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. I want
at 3 o'clock. Rich
Square at 3 o'clock.
Be back over here probably
5.
Can we do 6? 6 Wednesday.
Works even better. 6 o'clock on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That works for everybody.
6 o'clock. So we'll recess this meeting for 6 o'clock, Wednesday, June 18th. Commissioner. Mm-hmm.
And County Attorney's report?
Yes, I actually have something for once. Other than in closed session, I do need to go to closed session.
Absolutely.
It's actually brought up last meeting that I was in, been so many meetings this month. Anyway, one of the meetings this month, somebody raised the issue of the case of Berkeley County versus Cinderella. We have had their motion to dismiss placed on the calendar for August the 4th. Court begins at 10 o'clock on that day. I've tried a lot of cases, and I still believe stagecraft, if you've got powerful people behind you, they lose, but you don't lose that much. I remember back in my criminal days, I was representing a man who had self-defense, and he was the brother of a sheriff's deputy. Sheriff's deputy sat on one side, and all the other sheriff deputies sat behind my guy, and he never convinced me it didn't make a difference. So I just would cordially invite you to Superior Court for the case of Cinderella, Berkeley County versus Cinderella, because if in fact we win, and if in fact we collect, we're dealing with, you know, six-figure money.
What was that date again?
August, Monday, August.
Be right there.
And if it changes, I will notify you.
Sustain that.
Jonathan and I will both be there.
Plan to be there, too.
What time?
10 o'clock.
Superior Court begins at 10. One of the things that I can't tell you, Mr. Hogg,
that's right,
like
you're
railroad,
right.
I know what time it's supposed to start. I can't tell you what time my case will be heard. Motions ahead of us, or we may be the first motion.
Gotcha.
And I don't know if it's a jury session. If it's a jury session, then they've got to go through all the jurors swearing in and all that. So it might be 11:30 before it starts. I'll endeavor to find out, but I've had some other fires that you're aware of burning, and it's all I can do to get this one on for that day. But it's been over a year. It needs to be heard.
That's right.
And frankly, I think we're in a strong enough position, and maybe I shouldn't say this in public session, but I think we ought to move for summary judgment just as soon as we hopefully defeat their motion. If we don't get kicked out of court, then I think we file some affidavits, get our architect, and file for motion summary judgment, see if we can't end this thing quickly. If we can, then might get an appellate court, but it's some.
Thank you, Mr. Lord. At this time,
like I said, I'm sorry to say that I do need to go into closed session.
Yeah.
Do we have any public comments?
Good evening again. I just wanted to come back to you all and tell you thank you so much for listening to me this afternoon. You know, I'm just like you. Like I said, we're elected, and it's for the betterment of our people, of our citizens. And I could tell you one incident where this, I know that helped a young lady. I was down at Bojangles one morning, and I came through the line, and she asked me, she said, can I get my daughter birth certificate? She said she was born in Pitt County. And I said, sure, you can come. She said, I can. She said, thank you. She said, because I don't have a car, and then by the time I get off work, I can't get to Pitt County to get it. So for her to be able to come here to get that birth certificate meant a lot to her. So I just want to say thank you. I had my staff here today. They just was here, but they had to leave. But I, again, thank you for this. And continue to do a good job. I can see that you all do work hard and put your heart into what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do. Okay, sir.
I don't know if it's proper. I didn't get here early enough to sign up.
It's quite all right.
So I'll sit down. You go what?
Okay. 3 minutes.
Yeah, just 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
3 minutes. I hope it'd be less than that.
Okay.
But I'm ready to go home. my name's Jerry Cowan, COWAND, from Mary Hill. Okay. And briefly, I represent some properties that we rental houses. And I'm considering turning one over into an Airbnb type thing. So this came out in tax rights or the write-up of taxes, listing taxes this year. And briefly, at the bottom of it, for more information, if you have questions, Tourism Development Authority, please contact the finance officer at this number or visit the Berkeley County website. I don't know if any of y'all have tried to go to the Berkeley County website and look up the okay, it's a joke. Yeah, I don't know. Now, I don't know if you've been there, but what you're going to find if you look for this room tax is a quick banner. It gives a 10,000-foot overview of things, and then it goes into the presentation that was delivered sometime in a couple years ago that probably you guys didn't hear something like. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here. I don't have time to go meet with people in an office 9 to 5. And my available time is in the evening, like now, to search and to gain information. I can't get enough information off of the website to figure out if I want to do this or if I just want to turn it back into long-term rental housing. Okay? And so let me just real quick go over my questions and the lady who was here earlier generated some more. Okay. Who are the members of the TDA? That's number one. It's not on the website. Number two, are TDA meetings, and this was a question I really had generated tonight, are they open to the public? Are they scheduled? Are they on the website scheduled? They're okay.
We actually just developed the team today, and you saw that we just approved it today. But they will be public meetings, and you'll be entitled to come. And Ms. Robin Payne is the one you can contact, and she can answer all of your questions.
There it is. And so info on the website, non-existent. And then I'm a little concerned that, according to this letter, we started collecting the taxes in July of last year. Now, I don't know if a single dime's been collected. No. I don't know if there's any accountability for it. Don't have a clue who to talk to. And, you know, there should be some accountability. If there had been taxes collected, how was that money dealt with? Was it saved, spent?
It was not collected. And you can call Mr. Jody Ray, and he's in charge of that. And he can, at the tax office, he will explain all of that to you.
Okay. So is there an expectation on my part? You say contact Ms. Saunders?
No, sir.
The counter, the best Robin thing to, Payne. Best thing to do is contact
Robin Payne. I'm sorry. Contact Robin Payne.
How do I get in touch with
her? So, Mr. Cowan, before you leave, if you'll leave your name and number with us, we'll make sure that Robin Payne as well as Jody Rick get your information so we get your questions answered.
I'm sitting down. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't say it up the front, but thank you for the work you do.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Seriously, genuinely, I was asked some years ago to be where you are.
Yes, sir.
And I denied it. I didn't have time for it. I don't have time for it now.
Yes, sir.
Nor do I have an inclination to try to make everybody happy. You can't do it.
Amen.
It's just not possible. I'm not happy, but I'm not angry.
Mr. Cowan, if you're doing Airbnb, though, they're going to collect the taxes for you and turn it in.
I got you in front of a lawyer and in front of witnesses. Because this thing talks about all kinds of trouble you can get into if you don't pay.
Yeah, but we thank you.
I want to be ahead of the curve. I want to know what I'm getting into before I jump.
Right. That's understandable. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's understandable. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we need to go into closed session. Under General Statute
143.318A(3) and 6.
All right.
So moved.
We have a motion by Commissioner Michael White, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. We're now in. Going into closed session. All right.
I make a motion.
We need a motion to come out closed session.
To move.
I got a dog. Got a motion by Commissioner White to come out of closed session. Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
At this time, we will recess until Wednesday.
Six.
What the date?
Wednesday, June 18th.
June the 18th. At 6 p.m.
Oh, we don't need to vote on that because it's a. Okay.